In Mark, the 12th chapter, the Sadducees have just asked Jesus a question concerning the resurrection. Now, you will remember from prior Bible studies throughout your time, the Sadducees are those who do not believe in the resurrection. And they are challenging Jesus about the topic of the resurrection. And so Jesus is answering their questions in verses 24 through 27 of Mark chapter 12. And then in verse 28, one of the scribes comes to Jesus, having heard his reasoning with them and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, he asked this question: which is the first commandment of all? Now Jesus gives the answer of this in verses 30 and 31. He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, you know, we need to understand, just as the scribe did here in these passages of Scripture, we need to ensure that we possess the right kind of life of love if we are going to be a child of God. Paul tells us this in Titus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what this is basically telling us is that if we want to deny ungodliness, and if we want to deny unworldliness or worldly lust, we need to live with love in our heart. You know, Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, we have to change our lives from being devoted from one thing to another thing if we are going to follow God with our love in life. We are told to be a transformed people because we have that love for God. So what I want to talk about for just a few minutes tonight is this transformation that every Christian, every person who puts on Christ has to go through in life. That we can understand there has to be a change to be Christ-like in our lives. Now, we like to look at other people and say, well, they're not Christ-like. Or look at that Christian. And I've had acts with people to tell me, well, if that's what a Christian acts like, I don't want any part of it. And you've probably heard that same statement at one time or the other. So there has to be some type of change in all of us if we are going to follow the Lord within our lives. So I want to talk about that transformation for just the next few minutes. First thing I want to mention is that we must become living sacrifices if we are going to make that transformation as a child of God. We must be literally become a living sacrifice. In fact, that's exactly what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he uses that word transformed, which is what I'm talking about tonight. There has to be a change. We must present ourselves to God differently than we did when we were in the world. In fact, he tells us, give up this worldliness. Don't conform to it any longer, but give your life to God. Now, we also need to understand, God does not want half of a sacrifice. And we all know that there are a lot of people who say, I am a Christian, who only give God half of a sacrifice. He doesn't want, he doesn't desire half of a sacrifice. He doesn't want a dead sacrifice. That's why Paul said we need to be a living sacrifice. He wants a full-fledged, all-in sacrifice. Because Jesus gave his all for us, and he expects us to give our all for him. So John said in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Now, we are to be that living sacrifice. That means that we're going to have to present our bodies as that living sacrifice. Let's go back to Romans 12. That's what he said. Present your body as a living sacrifice that is acceptable to God. In other words, Jesus was holy. Therefore, he expects us to be holy as well. This is what Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. But as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, his own special people, and that is what we are to be, that we can proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his light. But we need to understand how important it is that we make that change, that we are people that have been transformed from that old dead life of sin to a new life that is committed to service to God and love for one another. This transformation also talks about giving up fleshly desires. Now, when we keep at the forefront of our thoughts the two greatest commandments of love, and we abide in them, we will not fall prey to fleshly desires. Now, you see a list of some, and this is nowhere near all of them, some of the fleshly desires that we are facing every day that we live. Fleshly desires, they are called works of the flesh by the Apostle Paul. They're very dangerous. We probably understand what each one of these are. We have probably faced these many times within our life. They're sinful. And they have absolutely no place in the life of a Christian. We cannot claim to be in a relationship with God and also be engaged in the works of the flesh. Now, Paul gives us a list here of the works of the flesh. It is an earth-shattering list, and I want to read that too. The works of the flesh, he said, are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we live in sincere love, we will be able to avoid these things. And this is what God expects of us. Now, not only did he give us this list, things for us to stay away from, he gave us another list, which is called the fruits of the Spirit. Now, Paul describes the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and the following verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he goes on to say, against these things, there is no law. These are the things that we are to put into our life. These are the things that we are to practice day after day after day. That if we do these things, then we will develop that relationship with God that he desires. And we can practice the fruits of the Spirit, and we can transform our life in a godly way. We must transform ourselves over fleshly desires. And then next,
We must transform ourselves over apathy and unfaithfulness. Apathy and unfaithfulness have no place in the life of a Christian, at least those who are wanting to keep those two commands that he told us this last. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience with our bodies, washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of time, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of Christ. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Christians who have become apathetic, who have allowed themselves literally to become lazy in their Christianity, are not showing full love to the Lord. And you know, we are told to have a knowledge of the truth. We are told to stir up good love and good works. This is something that we begin on that first day when we become a child of God. And there is no end to this. There is no letting up to this. And if you slow down, you can't eventually stop. If you allow that to happen, then you're not living fully for the Lord. I guess you could say Christians who make excuses for not worshiping with the saints, who make excuses for not working for the Lord or in this boat. But God wants individuals who will serve him daily and will never stop serving him. Like Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:58, we need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These that abide in the sincere love of God, these who practice these two great commands, they will not fall. But it is going to take an active part on your part and mine to be able to do this. Next thing, we need to bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, we need to bear fruit worthy of change. If there's something that we need to change, that's what repent means, to change, to turn around, to go in the opposite direction. Let's not deceive ourselves. God will not accept a half believing time. He never has. And he never will. Half committed disciples are a dime a dozen. And if I understand my Bible correctly, there will be no place in heaven for the half God demands and will only accept those who are fully, and I mean fully, committed to him. And you know, we can always tell when we are someone who's fully committed to something. You know, usually when you're watching a sporting event, you can tell the person who's involved in it is really put everything he's got into it. You can generally tell that. In the business world, we have some companies who are rivals against one another. And the one who usually comes out on top have put everything they could into it where the other side has just simply tried to fight. You know, Paul knew who was committed and who wasn't committed. And that's why he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 12. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in spirit. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And like I said, we know who put the greatest effort in Christianity, and we know if we don't. Paul is saying, I know if you do or you don't. God certainly knows if you do or you don't. And that's why it's so important that we give it our all, because God's not going to accept anything from you. Now, I know that we could ask 100 people what it means to give God everything in their life. When you ask 100 people that question, you're going to get 100 different answers. You're going to get answers that will say, well, I'll have to go this far down that road, and then I think I can stop. Some people might say, well, I'll have to go a little bit farther down this road and then try to stop. God knows how far you need to go. And if you're not going far enough, God knows that. And the sad fact is, you probably know the truth. So it's so important that we understand that God expects from us. He expects us to give him everything that we have. And when we continue in the doctrine of Christ, when we bear fruit that are worthy of repentance, our progress will be evident. The faithfulness of our lives will be evident. Our steadfastness in our Christianity will be evident. And the fruitfulness of our lives will be evident. Everyone is going to know that we have put forth that effort. And more importantly, God is going to know that we have put forth that effort. Now, I know that I'm not telling no one from you. Everything you've heard me say tonight, you've heard me say before. And the reason for that is it's pretty bad. When we put on Christ, we have to change. We have to leave our world. We have to leave our desires, our wants, our cares. And we have to put on Christ and make him number one. The first commandment was to love who? Love God. The second commandment was to love each other. You know what that puts us? First. We're last. You know, we're going to love each other as we are ourselves. If we have that kind of love for other people, we will have enough love for ourselves to do what God has asked us to do. I'm simply trying to get our own understanding and think about our soul condition the way God sees our soul condition. You see, the fact that it is, we are either for him or we are against him. And there is no middle ground. In Matthew 12, verse 30, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now, no one in this room would admit saying, I am against God. Who would say that? Nobody would say that. But if you're not against God, if you're for God, you need to show that with your life, giving him your very best. Because if you don't do that, like it or not, you're against God. If God looks at you and does not see what he needs to see, you are against God. And I, friend, do not want to be against God. When we're pretty thankful to serve you, there will be no place for things of these other things. So let's be sure that we are determined to serve our God with the same fervor that he served when he came to the church. We should be so thankful that Jesus went to the cross. That's how determined he was to serve his life. We need to have that same determination and that same respect. Tonight, as you find that you're not as committed as preaching and speaking and can't say tonight, you can repent of that and you can come back to the Lord and give him to your relationship. Tonight, if you're not Christian, you can give your life to him. You raise the confession to baptism, and you too can then put your very best for the Lord, and you can do that. Tonight, be sure that in your life, you have experienced and are experiencing this transformation from worldliness to darkness. Give your thoughts and invitation, please, God, that we can get on to the church.